feedback. Call now, 800-747-4043. That's 800-747-4043. One more time. You ready? 800-747-4043.
On the Monday edition of the Gym Class, Kevin and Wayne right here on KGYM. We're going to talk to Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Talk with him about Iowa football, Big Ten football, college football, the Ryder Cup, and everything that went on over the weekend. Speaking of the Ryder Cup, the Americans victorious up in the Twin Cities. It was a raucous crowd, including one time that the crowd helped out Zach Johnson, perhaps. We will talk about that and take a look at a wacky weekend in the world of sports. All that coming up here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class, so stay tuned. From our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, we welcome you in. It is a Gym Class here on KGYM. 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Scott Unash with you, alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Alex Kuhn, our producer. Thank you very much for joining us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here today. APC will follow us from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock here this evening. And then coming up later on, 1600 a.m. at 7 o'clock, we will bring you the Cyclone Call-In Show. Probably very happy, although I put that kind of in parentheses a little bit, or air quotes. The Cyclone's coming close to knocking off a top 20 team in the Baylor Bears at Jack Trice on Saturday. And so they'll talk about that and other things. Cyclone coming up tonight. And then at 7 o'clock, we've got a good Monday Night Football battle for you. It'll be the New York Giants taking on the Minnesota Vikings from U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. That'll be on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
Afternoon. It was a terrific weekend in sports, I thought, and a lot of college football news. I got back from the post-game show, the Iowa post-game show, and watched the conclusion of Tennessee and Georgia. Craziness.
How's our buddy Rusty doing?
Well, I think he might have had to be resuscitated once or twice. I'm not sure. But just a heck of a finish in that game and others throughout the night.
And then that was topped by Louisville-Clemson.
Yeah.
I got back. I was at the Uni Dome on Saturday for a little homecoming with the UNI in Southern Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers played very well and got back, watched the second half of Louisville and Clemson, and that's a game of the year, my friend, so far in the world of college football.
That's a good one.
That thing was amazing, and that Jackson and Deshaun Watson, two of the best quarterbacks. I don't know how I don't know if they're going to be great NFL quarterbacks, but college football quarterbacks, Jackson is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And Watson's not too far behind, I think, if he even is behind. They are terrific. They are terrific.
I would agree. And then you had the NFL yesterday with some strange goings on.
By the way, I'd like to I'd like to answer a lot of the inquiries from yesterday, last night. Yes, I am fine. I am not near any ledges or any sharp objects or anything like that. I anticipated.
Nobody wanted to play the Steelers.
As I told my oldest son as we watched the game last night, he drove down and we watched, and I said, Ryan, this ain't going to go well, my friend, because somebody's got to play the Steelers after they lost 37-3 last Sunday, and it just happened to be the Kansas City Chiefs. So am I worried? No. Yeah, they stunk, but got a week off. Put things together. Had to win one out of two between Pittsburgh and Oakland on the road. And now you got a bank on going out to the black hole and winning.
Mentioned Oakland 3-1. The Bears won.
How about that?
Gasp. The Patriots get shut out at home, really?
Yeah, but if you told them 3-1 when Tom Brady was gone, would they have taken that? I think they would have taken that in a heartbeat. With the especially starting off at Phoenix taking on the Arizona Cardinals and getting that one.
Which aren't any great shakes these days.
What is wrong with Arizona? Who's the most disappointing team right now in the National Football League? Arizona, Carolina. Who else would you put in there?
Mm.
You can't put Cleveland in there because everyone thought Cleveland was going to be down. They are 0-4 at this point. And then on the other hand, who is the most surprising team? Is it the Atlanta Falcons at this point? I know everybody led by Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are jumping on the Dallas Cowboy bandwagon, but please beat somebody of ilk before I'm jumping on that bandwagon.
Well, you'll be able to watch it one way or another.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Cowboys. They're on TV.
There were probably 2/3 Cowboys fans at Santa Clara yesterday for that game with the 49ers. Far cry from 1981 in the catch with Dwight Clark pulling down the pass from Joe Montana. There weren't a whole lot of Cowboy fans in the crowd at Candlestick that day, but very good weekend of NFL football, unless you're a Chiefs fan. And just some thrilling college games. Not among those thrilling college games. I think it was a thrilling game, but folks in Iowa City were not pleased. We're not pleased by the outcome of Iowa and Northwestern. I know you guys talked about it on the post-game show. Like I said, I was at the Uni Dome. I did not get a chance to take in the show. I would imagine there were some pretty surly comments after the ball game.
Yeah, the text line was pretty active. Tyler and I down at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. There was some comments about the officiating, and we went over that. And
officiating doesn't lose games. I'm sorry. Go on.
Yeah, unfortunately, that provokes some fans to throw some objects on the field. Stupidity.
It is. It's classlessness. And to be honest with you, every one of those people should be kicked out of Kinnick Stadium for at least a year. I don't know how you're going to find them. And you know who you are out there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that. It's one call. Yeah, it was wrong. And I asked two officials today. They said, yes, wrong call. Missed a call.
Which one are you talking about?
It happened. The face mask.
Okay.
The face mask. Missed a call. I don't know what else you can do.
On Beathard.
Right.
Okay.
On Beathard. And then the next play was Josie Jewell getting called for a face mask. But to do that is just, it doesn't look good for Iowa. It doesn't look good for anyone. And a shame. Shame, shame, shame. Go on.
Well, it's much like what happened at the Ryder Cup. A few fans spoiled it for others when there were some nasty remarks made, and the Europeans didn't appreciate it. And I don't blame them, but whether it's Kinnick Stadium or the Ryder Cup yesterday, a handful of fans spoil it for everyone else.
True.
Go ahead and be upset about the officiating, but you should be more upset about all the penalties that Iowa committed.
Letting Northwestern go downfield several times in the second half. That had nothing to do with officiating.
Allowing a team averaging 16 points to score 38. I'd be upset about that.
Hawkeyes score 31 in a game at home against Northwestern. They should win. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So there you go. My thoughts. Everybody can complain about the officiating. And what do you think? 319-366-1600. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong.
And now it's a pressing situation for Iowa, is it not?
Absolutely.
You've got Minnesota and Purdue on the road, and then a pretty tough stretch.
And, well, Purdue's... Meh.
I mean, after Purdue.
After Purdue.
Yeah, at Minnesota, at Purdue. Hey, Rutgers wasn't supposed to be any great shakes either, right?
Yeah, Ohio State didn't think they were either.
No. And that was a 14-7 game against Iowa, so I don't think anything's off the table right now.
No, I would agree on that. Again, what do you think out there? Let us know on the Jerry K. Ask Investment Services text line at 319-366-1600. You can also reach us via the phone lines at 319-366-1600. All this week, again, we have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away. Nothing beats cracking open an ice-cold Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper, and we've got your Dr. Pepper and some prize packs all this week. You're going to get a 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, a 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper t-shirts, KGYM swag, and more. For more information, check out our website at kgymradio.com.
Also give you the pick six results a little later on. Scott Unas is very happy about that, as is one of our listeners who hitched on to Scott's trailer and won a gift certificate to Carl and Ernest.
About time, man. I came through. But we'll get to that. We digress.
0001 on the Jerry Ask Investments text line. Kirk Ferentz needs to adapt offensively, or he could be the next Les Miles.
Isn't it terrible? Isn't it, you know, hindsight is 2020, but if Iowa had a chance to do it all over again, they would not have announced the contract extension for Kirk Ferentz at the time they did. Am I thinking that is a true true reality?
Dave K at 3513. If I hear another quote, hire Les Miles, unquote, I may scream.
Well, Les Miles is going somewhere. It's not going to be Iowa City. Do you agree with that?
Of course. Kirk Ferentz is not going anywhere.
Kirk Ferentz is not going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to the phones. Let's bring in Justin from Cedar Rapids. He wants to talk some Iowa football at 314. Good Monday afternoon, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Yourself?
Great. Doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about fans throwing stuff on the field. I was actually at the game, and I actually agree. I don't think that it's necessarily appropriate, but there was two blown calls back-to-back.
Don't care. Don't throw things.
Appearance and then the face mask.
Don't throw things.
They were
terrible calls, but you can't throw things.
You should get the call right first time.
I agree with that.
Where is this coming from, Justin? What part of the stadium did you see objects thrown on the field?
I was on the home side, 53, 25-yard line.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Was it widespread or just sporadic?
I think it's kind of sporadic. Mm-hmm. I don't agree. I kept my belongings in my hand.
Good for you, Justin. That's because our listeners are the smartest people out there.
What's wrong with this team, Justin, in your mind?
Oh, boy. Our defense doesn't look that great. It'd help if the receivers could catch the ball 100% of the time. But that's everybody, right?
Yeah. Hey, appreciate the comments, Justin. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, 319-366-1600. Give us a call if you like, or you can get in touch with us via the text line.
Indeed, Kenneth at 2364. Officiating was bad, but Iowa lost the game. At least Co won.
Kobe Wartburg, Mark.
That was a nice win. We'll see if the Cohawks can handle Dubuque.
The Fighting Spartans.
Defending champion Spartans.
Indeed.
1545, the no-call pass interference set the tone. The no-call face mask and the questionable TD catch by Northwestern ignited the crowd frustration. 87-21, what's wrong with Beathard? He's not the same quarterback. Stays in the pocket way too long. Iowa State getting better. Iowa getting worse.
I would agree with that.
I will say this about Beathard. It seems like he's... Number one, I think he's hanging on to the ball too long occasionally, but the offensive line has not given him a whole lot of protection at times, and the receivers either are not getting open or don't catch the ball. I thought a couple times Beathard could have pulled the ball down and ran, especially when he threw that game-ending interception.
Yeah,
I think he's very reluctant, whether he's been told not to do so or what. Or he's not completely healthy. I don't know. I don't think you can hang it on Beathard fully, but...
But he hasn't been as good as last year. But no. The line hasn't been as good as last year.
That's true. And a lot of things went Iowa's way last year. Let's face it.
Absolutely. Iowa wins in Indiana because of Beathard's helicopter ride into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa wins at Wisconsin because the Badgers fumble on the one-foot line last year.
Right.
You don't get those breaks every year. Maybe things are just kind of evening out. I don't know. Or maybe this team just hasn't found its niche yet. This team just doesn't have the mojo that last year's had.
Yeah, Nick alluding to that on the text line 3983. I think the fans get so mad because someone has to. It seems like we don't see much fire on the sidelines. 4398, officials didn't allow six sacks. Also, is it just me or Iowa? Did Iowa run receiver screen pass every second and long?
Ran a lot of screens in that game. And now you're also getting to the point where the defense knows that Iowa's wide receivers have trouble getting open. They're really hitting them at the line of scrimmage as well. As my colleague in the booth, John Hegarty, says, the big eye in the sky don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see things on film, college coaches are a pretty successful and smart bunch. They can figure things out.
Another text before we get to the phone line. Hang on there, folks. 2380, nobody playing with intensity aside from Jewel. Play like you want to be out there. Finally, 6598. Before the year started, I thought our strength at Iowa would be our offensive and defensive lines. We can't pass block, we don't seem to be able to stop the run, and we can't get after the other team's quarterback at all.
Yeah, and a good one coming up on Saturday in Mitch Leidner. Let's go to Chris in North Liberty, who's up next here on the Gym Class at 319. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Quick question for you. Outside of Ricky Stanzi, has any Iowa quarterback improved from their junior to senior year?
Brad Banks. I'll just go with that.
Yeah, Brad didn't really play his junior year, though, right?
Well, he improved then from his junior to his senior year.
I don't think Rudock regressed, did he?
I don't know. I mean, that's statistically, I don't think he really improved. Don't know that he regressed at all, but it just seems like every time we get a decent quarterback that plays their junior year, that senior season, they come out, all these high expectations, and then just fall flat. I'm just kind of curious to why we don't ever seem to develop a senior quarterback.
Yeah. You know,
Colin was pretty good.
Are you talking just a Ferentz era, or are you talking about Iowa football in general? Okay, Ferentz era. Drew Tate, yeah, he kind of suffered a little bit of that as well, but it's I'm not going to place it all at Bether because the line has not lived up to their end of the bargain yet. Thank you, Chris, for the call. Just my thoughts on it. Mark's going through the media guide right now. While he does that, before we get to a break and bring in Mike Colas, we bring in one of our favorites, and that is Cajun Troy, who's happy because their New Orleans Saints finally got off the ground.
Because, see, I turned the game off, and then I guess San Diego gave us two little fumbles, and so then we win the game. You know, it was just like they just gave us a gift. So I'm not, you know, I'm done with it. Well, the Bears won, too. So this, we gotta win on the clock, you know.
How about that?
But I was just talking. There's a few things. I'm listening to the callers. When they say, why doesn't the quarterback go from junior to senior year? First of all, they have film on them the whole year to study, okay? So normally when you have rookies and they don't have film on them, then they could do good or whatever. But once you start getting film on kids, then they know their weaknesses and their strengths, okay? And then quarterback, how many great quarterbacks do you have in the NFL? That's a tough position, okay? Very tough position. You got to have it between the ears. And then you got to, you know, have the toughness or whatever. So, you know, these are kids. And that's what I said. I didn't watch the Iowa game, and people talking about the refs. You talking about refs calling and throwing the flag every other game. It was the Iowa State game. Even on plays where the lineman was like 2-3 yards down on a pass. And normally they don't throw that, you know. So, but they, you know, I mean, it's against the law. But this time, they, you know, they threw it. You know, for most of the time, you don't see that. But it was, you know, the Iowa State game was an exciting game. I mean, too bad, you know. I mean, we just got to get number two to catch the ball before he runs. That's the plan on that. But, you know, I'm not being critical of him. I think the difference is that they just have to learn how to finish, you know, because if you recall last year with Tennessee lost so many games at the end of a game that they just didn't know how to finish. Now, Tennessee is playing. They are finishing games even with 10 seconds on the clock, you know, so to do that. So, all those fans out there, stop living through these kids. If you're not happy, stay home, okay? So, you know, I pay you $200 to go see LSU Alabama, but because that's what I want to do. And I'm not going to go there and throw crap on the field when Saban beat us. But that, I just wish fans just stop living through these kids and, you know, and being so critical of it because it's tough to be a student and an athlete and be out there every week to please them. And if you don't want to go, don't spend your money. Stay home. Make some money.
So, hey, Troy.
Yeah, but they'll be all right. You know,
before
they'll move on and do other things in life.
Right. Before we let you go, though, who's going to be LSU's next football coach?
Who I would like to go get the UNC head coach. You know, I think everybody's going to want the Houston guy. I think Texas want him. You know, Charlie Strong, you know, I hope you didn't buy a house yet. Just take all that money and go, okay? And go someplace else. But I really like the University of North Carolina coach. You know, we can't get Mr. Houston, man. But I tell you what, last Saturday night, that game, We ran the ball over 400 yards, but we had different formations, okay?
Yeah.
Spread out and this and that. And that, so you saw some hope, some hope. So we'll see. And Les Miles got a Penn State. Because he's going back to a big chance.
Thanks, Troy. Appreciate it, girl.
All right, bye-bye.
3:23. We're going to talk to Michael Oss coming up here in just a moment. You did some research there.
Yeah, in regards to Jake Rudock improving whether he did or not. 2013 as a junior, completed 204 passes out of 306 for 2,383 yards in 14 his senior year. 213 of 345 for 2,436. So pretty similar.
Yeah.
A lot of texts rolling in, Scott, Joel and Muscatine. In rewatching the games, defensive players are overrunning plays and not doing their job. 67-81, Iowa being down has nothing to do with the Zebras. It's the O-line. 58-15, typical of Hawkeye fans last year, the ball bounced your way. We are the greatest. Kirk's finally opening the offense up this year. Two losses. And the ball isn't bouncing your way, so go fire Kirk. 82-05, Stanzi improved, and so did everyone else on that team.
Stanzi did get better.
Well, he did. 78-40, I know that we are trying to keep Beathard healthy, but he does stay in the pocket way too long, and hardly any running from him to open up the options on the pass plays. 13-07, this isn't what Desmond King came back for. Didn't Desmond say they were completely out-coached after the game? Well, he did.
Then he took it back.
Then he backtracked. And when he was questioned about what he meant by being out-coached.
Did he just come up with something? Was he just searching for your football cliche 101 and came up with the wrong one, or did he have something?
Well, here's the quote from Desmond King after the game. Knowing that we gave up a lot of big plays on the back end, that's not what we're looking for. We did what we could. They really outcoached us a little bit. And he was asked about that comment. He said, really not outcoached. They played their hearts out. Credit to Northwestern. They came and they really wanted to win this game.
Yeah. He said it, though. He said it, though. A lot of people are kind of hanging their hat on that. Hey, before I get to Michael Oss, real quick, I want to talk about Iowa State because the Cyclones played really, really well. Now, with that in mind, I was waiting to hear what Matt Campbell was going to say after the game. He didn't do a Hayden Fry tirade after Iowa came close several times early in Hayden's first year, including that first game against Indiana and Lee Corso at Kinnick Stadium of his tenure. I thought Matt Campbell played it very well, played it very cool. Iowa State played good football.
Certainly offensively.
Yes. Well, nobody plays defense in the Big 12. I said it. Yes, I did. Look at the scores. And I watched that game. Play some. I know it's hard. They're great offenses, but it's frustrating. Anyway, for Iowa State, that second half against TCU, they look pretty darn good. Look pretty darn good against Baylor. I'm not saying they're going to go to Stillwater and beat Oklahoma State, but this team's getting better, and they're starting to buy into what Matt Campbell is putting out there and getting accomplished in practice. And they're getting some pretty good recruits here, too.
I can't disagree with that. It's a game that Iowa State probably should have won, up 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and couldn't hang on.
They just don't know how to win those games yet.
Yeah.
And they got to learn how to win those games.
Baylor just rushed for another 20 yards, too.
Yeah.
You know, giving up over 400 yards in rushing.
Shock's pretty good.
That's not very good. Yes, Shock is pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Gage and Troy, one last comment. Desmond King came back because his mom told him he needed to get his degree.
And that is true. That is true. All right, we're going to take a break. 3:27. We got to bring in Michael Oss and talk about Saturday with him and several other sports subjects with Mike. And we'll do it when we come back here on KGYM.
Imagine not having a care in the world about your plumbing and heating system. With Master Plumbing, join the Green Club and you can say it with confidence. Master Plumbing Green Club members get 3 free visits a year to check your heating, cooling, and plumbing systems. No service fees, no after-hour fee, and priority scheduling if and when there is a problem. There's even 10% off regular service fees all year long. So while it may not be a problem now, joining Master Plumbing's Green Club is also no problem. Just go to masterplumbingcr.com. Join and get in the green.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and equal housing lender.
On every job site, the formula is the same. Less downtime equals more profit. Reduce that downtime with top-notch machinery from Star Equipment, like the Teleclipper. The boom on this puppy extends your reach up to 10 foot 3 inches, and the 180 clipper head rotation lets you cut close on both sides of the tree without wasting time repositioning. You cut time while you cut those tall limbs. Come talk to Star Equipment to rent or buy the Teleclipper and improve your job site profits. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
Look at this one I caught. That fishing trip was awesome.
Yeah, I wish I could have gone.
I'm telling you, buddy, come work for Mediacom like me and you can afford fishing trips, a motorcycle, all that stuff.
My job's okay.
Right. You never have any money.
I know.
Doing direct sales at Mediacom, I meet a lot of people, and I know the harder I work, the more I'll make.
You do make it sound pretty good.
It is good. MediacomCable.careers, man. Just saying.
Live the life and get the stuff you want. Apply now to be a direct sales representative at MediacomCable.careers.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the gym class with UNASH and Dukes. KGYM.
Back at 3:29 here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. More Iowa football talk. It'll be the Monday breakdown with the APC. That'll be during the 5 o'clock hour with Todd and Tyler on the program coming up from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. By the way, they will be in Iowa City again this Friday at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. And they will be down there at 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square. You get your hands on some great KGYM swag and other prizes. Get your ticket when you walk in the door. Enjoy great food, cold drinks. That will be this Friday at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, that in Iowa City. We haven't even talked about the Ryder Cup yet, Mark. We will get to the Ryder Cup. Soon.
Save that for after a loss.
All right.
Yeah.
Unless Mike wants to talk about it a little bit as well. But we bring in Mike Halas. You can follow him on Twitter, at Halas. You can also go to thegazette.com and read his terrific stuff. And Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We've just been listening to everybody with their two-cent opinion on why the Iowa football team is struggling right now.
So you hear that, everybody out there? Your opinions are worth 2 cents.
Mine are worth 1 cent, so they're double.
Oh. Hey, a Cajun guy, at least give him a nickel. That guy sounded like James Carville. I could listen to that guy all day.
Except it's a gal. It's Troy. It's Cajun Troy.
Cajun Troy, yeah.
That's
yeah.
A gal. Yeah.
Well, I was listening through the internet, so I don't even know which one was him and which one was you.
Troy, if you need Halas's number, I got it. Okay.
Well, I mean, seriously, the guy. I mean, he seemed to be the only one who didn't have steam coming out of his ears. He said, "Quit, don't live your life through those kids." That sounded all right to me.
Sage advice. Sage advice.
Yeah, and so now you don't need my number.
Mike, you wrote another good column today about Iowa's. I'm not sure the right word for it, but they're lousy in games when they're favored in double digits compared to other Big Ten teams.
Compared to the world.
Why?
I don't know. I guess it's just the style of ball they play. It's not, you know. Let me put it to you this way. Saturday night, did you guys watch the Louisville-Clemson game?
Yes.
Yes.
Did that look like the same species of football that you saw in Iowa City that afternoon?
No. No,
not really.
No. Iowa doesn't play that kind of ball. And Scott, you just talked about the Big 12 and how it's hard for you to watch because of the defense. Well, a big part of that is the offense.
Exactly.
And by the way, the defense wasn't that spectacular in Iowa City Saturday.
No, it wasn't. Defense isn't that spectacular anywhere in college football right now.
Well, no, except Michigan and Ohio State. So, you'll get your black and blue grunt and groan when out of those guys. But when you're watching Clemson and Louisville, and you're watching, I mean, even Baylor, Iowa State, but look, great offenses are going to score points. I don't care how if the defenses are good or not. And at the same time, they have a certain something about them that's eye-pleasing if you're a football fan. And it was obvious what it was in that Clemson-Louisville game. The two quarterbacks are absolutely spectacular. But, after watching Iowa-Northwestern, I'm sorry, Northwestern had some great individual performances. The receiver, Austin Carr, was sensational, and the running back, Jackson, was excellent. The quarterback had probably the best game he's had all year. But if you put Northwestern up against Louisville, what's going to happen? It's a bloodbath. And it's, the reality is a lot of this Big Ten football, a lot of it is mediocre. And what you saw in Iowa City Saturday was mediocre. And you're going to see a lot more mediocre football in the Big Ten this year.
I think one thing I've noticed in the first month, 5 weeks of college football, Mike, is exactly what you're talking about. In the past handful of years, there haven't been a lot of difference between the top 15 teams. There is a ton of difference, I think, between the top five or six teams this year and the rest of college football.
Right. You're absolutely right. And hey, Ohio State and Michigan are part of that. Those are two great teams. Ohio State, I think, is in that elite of the elite. I don't put Michigan there quite yet. But Ohio State is playing it's Ohio State and the rest of the Big Ten in my mind. They've got greatness. And they lost 12 guys to the NFL draft, which tells you that maybe the scales aren't balanced quite equally, but they never are. But you want to localize this. Nationally, Iowa is irrelevant again. They had a nice 3-month run last year. It ended, in my mind, when they lost to Michigan State. And they're off the map again. They're gone.
A listener on the text line, Mike, wanted to ask you about Desmond King's comments about being outcoached.
Yeah, I put nothing into it. I was in the room when he said it. I think that he was – I don't even think he was backtracking. I don't think he expressed himself the way he meant to. I haven't heard anything from him suggesting anything of the sort. Some of these guys are, they're college kids, and they're not all eloquent. And standing in front of a room full of people after a game like that, I know I wouldn't word things the way I wanted to, and I don't think he did, and I don't make any big deal out of that. Now, if he says something similar tomorrow in Iowa City or Saturday if they should happen to get beat in Minnesota, okay, you got yourself a story. But right now, we're not at the point of finger-pointing and backbiting. That's not to say it couldn't happen down the road, but not right now.
I think he was just searching for something, and that just came out.
And
he could have used
story of their season right now. They're searching for something.
He could have used any word, though. He used that word.
Yeah, I know. Right, he did. And I'll tell you what, when this our little talk is over, I'll go back upstairs and I'm going to say I used a word or two or five that I wish I had.
It happens to me every day, Mike.
Yeah. It's not that we're not meaning everything we say. It's just a matter of how do you express it.
If Kirk Ferentz could wave a magic wand right now and fix one thing about this football team, what would it be?
It's multiple choice, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, put one finger in the dam and a leak seems to be somewhere else. I just think it's got to be, it's blocking, tackling, and getting receivers open. In other words, football.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can point to any one area of the team and say this is superior. As you guys said, the quarterback play has, I think it's been, I mean, look, it was really good the first couple of games. But lately, I don't think Bethard set the world on fire. But how do you set the world on fire when you've got a stampede of a defensive end with number 7 as in jersey Saturday, 4 sacks from one guy? And the tackling, you know, Justin Jackson running wild and free. And, I mean, we can just go on. I mean, we can pick this apart. But the fact is, it wasn't good. If it wasn't for the kick return game, they get beaten badly.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm getting at, Mike, is I think there's something askew here, because on defense, you lose Drew Odd and Nate Meyer and Jordan Lomax, essentially, from a 25th-ranked defense in the country, and it's a sieve right now.
Yeah, well, okay. Fisher and Meyer and Lomax, none of them stuck with NFL teams, but they were pretty good players, and I think last year they had 11 defensive players who were all good, and you had an entire unit that was good. And we haven't seen that. The safeties have not been great. And, you know, I think you'd love to have Cole Fisher back at linebacker, and you'd surely love to have Jordan Lomax back, and you'd love to have Nate Meyer back. They're not back. But still, you looked at all the wealth of experience that is back, both sides of the ball, really. I mean, you did replace 2 really good offensive linemen in Austin Blythe and Jordan Walsh, and you lose Tavon Smith from the receiving corps. But everybody loses seniors. Everybody does. The returning talent validated a top 15 spot in the preseason poll. In the first 2 weeks of the season, they moved up the polls because they looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But the last 3 weeks, I'd like to just say, well, here's the problem. I don't know what the problem is. The problem seems to be that other teams' coaches have looked at game film of Iowa and said, this is how you beat them. 2 straight teams have come into Iowa City and held them under 300 yards. That's unacceptable. Northwestern sacks them 6 times. They've been sacked 14 times in 5 games. That's unacceptable. The rushing, the defense has allowed, you know, they allowed 198 yards Saturday. North Dakota State had, I think it was 230-something.
Yep.
Rutgers had 193. 2 words for that, unacceptable. And, you know, like I said, it's a football thing. It's not a one-area thing.
It just seems to me that this team right now, they just don't have the mojo that they had last year. Things aren't just, they're not falling for them. And just behind the scenes, it just looks like something's just missing. Something's just missing. Yeah. And with that being said, who knows? Maybe they go to Minneapolis Saturday and win by 2 touchdowns.
Hey, you know what? And I'm glad you said that, because I was just going to get to this. Nobody wants to hear the Pollyanna stuff after a game like that. But it is a cliche, but there is a lot of season left. And, you know, maybe they start to pull things together, but it's not a deal where they've had a few key injuries and guys are going to come back. And it's not like, well, it's just one mistake here, one mistake there, or they'd be 5-0. For 3 weeks, they haven't looked right. And we're not talking about game 1 or game 2 now. Or this is the halfway point Saturday. So they got to win Saturday. They have to win Saturday. Or otherwise, I think it's going to be a hard time just maintaining interest in it.
Is it going to be a hard time to get 6 if they don't win Saturday?
Well, you know what? I don't worry about that stuff. Look, the week after that, they played Purdue. And you guys and I think we could get 8 of our friends together. I think we could put up a fight for a quarter against Purdue.
Yes.
But the thing is, the 3 best teams on their schedule, they haven't played yet. All 3 of them come to Kinnick Stadium. They could beat all of them, but not the way they're playing. you know. So there is still potential for a good season, but the margin of error now is obviously very thin.
Michael Haas joining us at 3:43 on the Monday edition of the Gym Class. Let's get things upbeat a little bit, although I don't know if a loss is upbeat, but we were talking about the fact that Matt Campbell and his Iowa State Cyclones looking better and better. They scared Baylor to death on Saturday. Probably should have won the football game. They're getting better. They're upticking right now.
Yeah, and I haven't been able to see them, so I can't speak with the least bit of authority. I just followed it along on the internet while watching the Iowa game and not even really following it, just, you know, seeing score updates. But, I mean, my goodness, Baylor couldn't stop them. Absolutely couldn't stop them. And I saw Baylor play SMU on TV, and I saw Baylor play some of the Oklahoma State game. I wasn't terribly impressed. They're not the Baylor that they've been. But that said, you nailed it. They are getting better. They were better at TCU after they got crushed by Iowa, just crushed. And then they came home and played San Jose State, and there were people worried that they were going to win that game, and they completely rolled them. And outside the fourth quarter, they gave an awfully good account of themselves against an actual, you know, against a big-time team. Now, the schedule's not certainly not favorable here the next couple of weeks on the road for Oklahoma State and Texas, but they're doing something right. And really, realistically, all you could ask in year one is establish that. Start doing things right. Get that feeling that you're going forward, that you actually are part of something that's, you know, that's going to be good and that's real, and you're going to construct a winner here and you're on the ground floor. And 2 weeks in, I think people thought, here we go again. 5 weeks in, I think people in Iowa State are saying, yeah, I can see it.
Mike, I know what you said in the past about golf and it really doesn't move the needle, and I can't really disagree with that in the midst of college football and pro football, but I would argue, excuse me, watching yesterday's Ryder Cup, there's no greater theater in sports. I mean, I've never been to a World Cup. I've seen it on TV. I don't know what you'd compare it to, but the competition was terrific. One match, there's 19 birdies. I mean, one thing after another. Plus, you had a Cedar Rapidian on the winning team. I mean, I don't think I'm going overboard. That was one hell of a day in golf.
Yeah, no, of course. And if I can take 10 seconds to plug something, I'm going to have David Faraday on my podcast tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
And he was there, and I'm really looking forward to that. But, no, I mean, it was. I didn't watch NFL yesterday because I was so sucked in watching those two matches, McIlroy against Patrick Reed and Sergio against Phil Mickelson. It was unreal stuff. Too nice a day to be sitting inside, and yet there was no way I was going to not watch it. Look, if weekly golf on TV resembled that in the slightest, it would be a much bigger sport as far as fans and so forth. As it is, when you talk TV golf to most people, they talk about taking naps and so forth. Well, it's just funny to me that, I mean, Patrick Reed, ask anybody what tournament has he ever won, and he's won a few, but nobody can name one. But if he had won the Masters, he wouldn't be as popular as he is right now for what he did yesterday. People love team sports. And the only thing I think they like better than team sports are when nations are attached to them. And this thing, for all the hokiness of it in some regards, I really don't go for the nationalistic, you know. I think the people go way overboard on that stuff. But for just an honest-to-goodness team competition, I was there 4 years ago in Medina, and I think I told you guys before on the air, I don't know if I've seen anything like it in person. Yesterday's telecast captured it very well, but when you're there, you just can't believe how tense and how dramatic it is. And it certainly was again yesterday.
Told Scott, Patrick Reed is like the A.J. Pierzynski of golf. I mean, if he's on your team,
you love him.
Love him. If he's on another team, you absolutely detest him.
Well, I'll tell you, that's true, but I bet he's got a lot more fans now at regular golf tournaments than he ever had.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had any before. But forget the histrionics. The guy performed. I mean, that was just, I couldn't believe the number of putts that were made by people on both teams yesterday under that kind of pressure.
It was great theater.
It was bizarre. Phil Mickelson, for God's sake, had 10 birdies. I mean, he should have the yips by now, shouldn't he? The guy's 46. He's almost as old as you guys. But instead, he goes out, and after they've been part of losers for, how many times in a row, and you would think early in the day, it's like, I wonder if it's going to happen to him again, gave one of the nerviest performances of his life.
Yeah. Pretty cool as well to hear the Ryder Cup crowd chanting Cedar Rapids, Cedar Rapids, with Zach Johnson as well. And, Zach didn't get a chance to really it was anticlimactic, his match, obviously, being the anchor guy, but still pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, and it was interesting to me that Davis Love put him in that spot, the last one, and it told me that Love thought that if something went haywire and it came down to the final match, that was the guy that he wanted there. I thought that was very interesting. And that they didn't need him, they were all very happy about it. But, he beat the guy he played, a young guy named Matthew Fitzpatrick, pretty soundly. And I think that if that match had decided the whole Ryder Cup, I think Zach would have just, I would have felt sorry for Fitzpatrick.
I did feel sorry for Fitzpatrick. I was telling Mark before we got going here, I don't know how you bring the club back in that atmosphere if you're one of the Europeans. And the same with the Americans when they go across the pond. I don't care what you say about nerves in sports. That may be the most nerviest. Is that a word, nerviest?
Sure, Johnny.
Okay. That there is.
I know. I don't know either. I don't know either, but like I said, if they could bottle that and find a way to spread it across the rest of their year, they'd have something, but that's just a unique thing.
Mike, I know a lot of folks would like to access your podcast if they haven't already. If you're going to have David Faraday on, tell them how to go about it.
Well, it's at thegazette.com, and it should be up late morning tomorrow.
We've been trying to get Faraday for a while, so after this, please let Alex know how you did that.
persistence, that's all I can say.
Yeah, and boy, he had a lot of fun. Hopefully Minneapolis will be a lot of fun for you guys up there coming up this weekend. And anything else on thegazette.com that you'd like people to direct to?
No, thank you, though. Appreciate it.
Well, Mike, take care this week. Good to talk with you. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right.
Mike Halas joining us here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM at 3:52. We'll take a break. Come back after this.
Hey, Paul, upgrade season's here. I got my new iPhone 7 from Sprint.
So, Pete, you upgraded your phone and your carrier. Smart.
Sprint? I've been hearing good things about their network.
Yes, Joey, all networks are within 1% reliability of each other now. And Sprint saves you 50% on most current national carrier rates.
Switch to Sprint and get the new iPhone 7. Plus, save 50% off most current national carrier rates. Don't let a 1% difference cost you twice as much. Visit a Sprint store, sprint.com/iPhone, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
50% savings until 5/31/18 after pay full amount, subject to $30 activation fee, credit and valid port, and must choose from porting carrier rates. Applies to Verizon Plan 2, 4, 8, 16, 24, 30, 40, and 50 gigabytes, AT&T Mobile Share Advantage, 1, 3, 6, 10, 16, 25, 30, 40, 50 gigabytes, T-Mobile Simple Choice 2, 6, 10 gigabytes. Carrier and international features differ. Plans exclude unlimited music and video streaming data carryover and cloud options that other carriers' plans may offer. See website for eligible plans. Reliability claim based on third-party data. Offer coverage not available everywhere. Restrictions apply.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans.
Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
My husband and I shopped locally for a loan on a used truck, but the rates quoted seemed high. We were frustrated. Then we heard DuPaco's Money Makeover takes a good look at your total financial picture and can often uncover hidden money. We were fascinated. Sarah at DuPaco took a look at our credit history and explained the higher rates. Our high credit card balances were driving our credit score down. We were humiliated. So she consolidated $25,000 worth of credit card debt, saving us $550 a month, then took $200 of that amount and opened a Roth IRA. By the time our oldest goes off to college, we'll have almost $30,000. If we leave it there, $300,000 at retirement. We're exhilarated. You can bank on a bank for some things, but give credit to a credit union like DuPaco for putting people before profits.
The DuPaco Money Makeover. A good look for your financial future.
We went in frustrated and came out infatuated.
DuPaco Community Credit Union. Member NCUA. Equal housing lender.
The one thing you wish you could have is more hair. Now, Ageless Appeal Med Spa in Cedar Rapids can make it happen with PRP Hair Restoration. This new treatment at Ageless Appeal Med Spa is really taking off with guys throughout the corridor because it's easy, it's natural, there's no surgery, and it shows hair regrowth up to 40%. PRP Hair Restoration could be just what you've been wishing for. Find out. Schedule a free confidential consultation at agelessappealmedspa.com. agelessappealmedspa.com.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
All right, thanks to Mike Koloss for joining us. We'll have the podcast up and running here in just a couple moments. We have up and running a poll question from Emil's Hideaway, Mark.
We do indeed. Who should start at quarterback for the Chicago Bears once Jay Cutler is healthy?
Doug Flutie.
Be Brian Hoyer or Cutler? Bears winning yesterday over the Lions.
Vince Evans.
Hoyer going for over 300 yards for the second straight week. What do you think?
John Fox hinted around today that it could be Hoyer. Would you like that?
He's 1-1, better than Cutler. I'm ready to cut bait with Cutler. I really am. That's a discussion for another segment, I suppose. But
I suppose.
It has nothing to do with what happened yesterday either.
No.
It has everything to do with Scott Unash winning the Carlone's pick six, though, this week.
Yeah.
We had a push among our six games, Penn State, Minnesota. Penn State won by 3, and that's what the line was. So in the 5 games, Scott went 3-2. Myself, Alex, and Tyler, all 2-3. Todd and Sean on a bit of a lunch watch over the weekend, each 1-4. Todd hitting Northwestern, Sean hitting Washington. So the result is that the Gym Class is now in front of the APC by one whole game.
We're not in a luxury condo in Las Vegas, though, at this point.
No, not when
38-46, and they are 37-47.
It's pretty pitiful, isn't it?
Another pick six coming up. We'll try to do better this Thursday.
Indeed.
On the Gym Class. Friday, we will be at Prairie for the LeJames International College Tailgate Tour. So we get ready for Linmar and Prairie coming up. More high school sports news. Golf districts today down at the Quad Cities. Looks like Linmar was the champion down there. I believe they were the only Metro team down there. So Lions are going to be going to the state golf meet coming up at the Tournament Club of Iowa here in a I believe this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Appreciate all your texts today. Sorry we didn't get to all of them, but we really appreciate the interaction on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line.
Yeah, more interaction is welcome coming up on the APC from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. And then Monday Night Football tonight, the Vikings will host the Giants from U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. That will be on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. 1600 AM, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In Show. That will be from 7 o'clock until 8:30. I know Christy Johnson-Lynch and Matt Campbell will be among the guests there. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Cal Elder talking baseball playoffs.
A home burglary happens every 13 seconds. Ring Video Doorbell has been proven to stop burglaries before they happen by allowing you